We praise your name because our gathering together is of no use if your spirit does not gather together with us. That is why I pray this morning that as we look into the scriptures together, your power will fall, your spirit will descend, you will come and change our hearts and our lives, even as we stand on your word. I pray that you will surround this pulpit with your fire, that the words that proceed will not be enticing words of man's wisdom. Bless us in a very special way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Everybody said. Amen. There are three ways I can approach every message that I bring behind this pulpit. I can bring you milk. I can bring you flesh. And I can bring you bones. The food that God has given me to serve you this morning is not milk. Consequently, those who are babes may not find this very comfortable. But if your desire is to grow up in God, you will enjoy this. I wouldn't fill you with bones lest I injure the spiritual teeth of some of you. What I serve you this morning is midway food between milk and bones. If you want some good meat this morning, the message that you will hear, there's plenty of meat to go around. There's a question that has been on my mind for many, 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 many months that I would like to present to you this morning. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that is asking this question. When I tell you what it is, many of you will attest to the fact that such a question is on your mind right now or has crossed your mind before. The question I always ask is this: how come, as fervently as believers pray, how come that we get such a little breakthrough? If I tell you it has not bothered me, I will be lying to you. With all our prayers, all our fastings, all our night vigils and day vigils, all our revival upon revival, how come there is not much significant difference between us and those who do not pray and fast as much as we do? How come? Brethren, I often wonder, is it not the same devils and demons that Peter and Paul dealt with that we deal with today? They were not as preoccupied with spirits as we are. Yet they had far more success and victory over the spirit world than we do. And I keep asking, but why? Brethren, I stand before you this morning bearing my heart to you. I often wonder why the authority that Jesus gave seemed to work for them more than it does for us. Their use of our God-given authority over Satan seems to be more effective than we when we use the same authority. I happen to come from a country in Africa that I would consider as the number one nation in the whole continent when it comes to prayers, when it comes to chasing devils and demons. I've been to several countries in Africa. There is no country like where I come from with posters and billboards and flyers all over town. Revival in this place, prayer in this place, night vigil in this place. In fact, most people where I come from now build ministries based on prayer alone. And the question I ask all the time is, if we pray as much as we do, how come we see such a little difference between us and those who don't pray? If it doesn't bother you, it bothers me. I have looked at brethren that I personally know outside this assembly. And I've looked at brethren that I happen to know as the pastor of this church inside this assembly, going through intense spiritual warfare. And you know what? I know how they pray. I know how they fast. I know how they wake up early in the morning to pray and sleep late to tarry with God for the removal of the attacks of the enemy against their lives. I know how in seasons I come across this brethren outside this church and inside this church, and their facial appearance is shrunk from days and weeks and sometimes even months of praying and fasting, resisting the devil. I know brethren that fast and pray for the first 7 days of every month. I know brethren that fast and pray 3 days a week. I know brethren that don't eat on Sundays. I know brethren that fast 30 days every January or every December. I know brethren that have fasted 40 days and 40 nights, 60 days and 60 nights, 100 days and 100 nights, 125 days and 125 nights. They're sincere, looking for a breakthrough. Let me tell you what bothers me. How come? With all these that we do, we get such a little tiny breakthrough, if we do. And even when we do, the breakthrough comes, but does not last. The situation I'm describing has made me ask over and over again, Lord, what are we missing? What are we missing? A church like our own, chasing the devil as much as we do, should be 10 times this size in 4 years. What are we missing? Isn't it true that we're supposed to be more than conquerors? Or does the Bible not hold true in April of 2005. Isn't it true that no weapon that is fashioned and formed against you shall prosper? Isn't it true that every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you have every right to stand and condemn, and it will be condemned? Isn't it true that one shall chase 1,000 and two shall put 10,000 to flight? Why is it then that one Christian woman and one Christian man who are husband and wives pray, and the enemy just stands there, making no move? Folks, something is wrong somewhere. Isn't it true, ladies and gentlemen, that there is supposed to be no enchantment against Jacob? Isn't it true that there is supposed to be no divination against Israel? Isn't it true, ladies and gentlemen, that whatsoever we bind on earth is supposed to be bound in heaven? Isn't it true, ladies and gentlemen, or am I misreading my Bible when I read and where it says, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How come then that we bind and bind and nothing appears to be bound? How come then we lose and lose and nothing appears to be loosed? How come the defeated one seems to be stronger than we are? How come the conquered one seems to outlast and outpace those of us that are described as conquerors? Folks, we must be missing something. We've got to be missing something. Is either the Bible is true or false? And you and I know the Bible is true. And so if the Bible does not show in my life, if I do what the Bible says do and I don't get the result, something is wrong. And this is a question that I've been asking privately and sometimes even publicly. And I'm asking you this morning, what are we missing? Is there no more balm in Gilead to heal the wounded soul? Doesn't he say in the book of Psalms that the rod of the wicked shall not abide upon the lot of the righteous? Let all men be liars, but let God be the truth, and let him be true. Something is missing somewhere. In my quest to discover what is missing, I started reading my Bible, and I started praying. I was hoping I would dream a dream. I was hoping I would see a vision. I was hoping a prophet will walk up to me and say, this is the answer to your question. But can I say something to you? The best answer you will ever get is inside this book. Thank God for dreams. Thank God for visions. Thank God for prophets. But dreams, visions, prophetic utterances can mislead you. But the Bible cannot mislead you. And so God, in his mercy, gave me from the word of God what we're missing. And it turned out to be, it's not two things, it's not three things, it's not four things, it's not 44 things, it's one thing. And I'm glad it's one thing, because if it were 2, 3, 4, 5 things, I would have said there are too many for me to comply with. But it's one thing. If you will, ladies and gentlemen, pay attention to this one thing this morning, then all your prayers, all your fastings, all your bindings, all your loosings will not be in vain. If you will pay attention to this one thing, you will be more than a conqueror. Demons and devils will bow down and run from you. But folks, if all you do is pray, but neglect this. If all you do is fast, but neglect this. If all you do is bind and loose and claim God's promises and neglect this. If all you do is go to God's anointed men and women and look for a quick fix and neglect this. Nothing will work until you go back to this. You say, Pastor, what is it? One of the most practical writers of the Bible is James. If you're looking for practical Christian living, practical Christian writing, go to the book of James. And James gives us the one thing we must do in order to have the victory we've been looking for. Can I say something to you? Because I know many of you love to go places. Many of you love to go to prophets when they go through town. Many of you love to go to prophets when they come close to town. Many of you love to fly out to Hawaii when the prophet is going through Hawaii. I don't have any problem with that. And you know, I've never come to any one of you to rebuke you for going to these prophets. But can I say something to you? Your answer is not with any prophet. As good as their ministry is, your answer is with God. Oh, you say, why do you say that? Well, you cannot even answer yourself. Because with all your going, has the problem been solved? Seriously, with all your intensity in being there and in drawing people from the church to go there with you, has your problem been solved? Has their own problem been solved too? No, it will not be solved until you come back to this book. You're just wasting your time. You're wasting your money. Unless you do it God's way, it's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, the prophet you go to may be an anointed man of God, may be an anointed woman of God. But you know what? No matter what they say to you, no matter what prayer they pray for you, it is still subject to this verse that I read to you this morning. So with all your going and with all your praying and with all your fasting and with all your seeking, let's go back to the Bible and make it so simple. You know what I found out? Deliverance is very simple. If you do it God's way. What is it that will make my prayers count? What is it that will make my fastings count? What is it that will make my night vigils count? Here it is this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, James chapter 4. We're studying the book of James right now in the Bible studies. And for some reason, some of you have dropped out. I don't know for what reason you dropped out for. But there's no other way beside the truth. Because it is when you know the truth that it will set you free. And here is the truth in the book of James that we have to subject ourselves to in order to have the victory that we're looking for. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Look at what it says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Can we all read that together? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Can the brothers read that, please? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Can the sisters read that, please? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Can everybody read that one more time? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Is that a period or a comma or a semicolon? Period. In other words, stop. Stop right here. Stop. Don't go any further until you master this. Then after you master this, then go to the next step. Yes, he is. It's a wonderful Jesus. He's made our deliverance so simple. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Folks, there is no other way around this scripture. I wish I can tell you there is a way around it. You can't fast your way around it. You can't give your way around it. You can't night vigil your way around it. You can't be the prince of the park your way around it. You've got to submit to this. Two words stand out in that verse. The first word is submit. The second word is resist. Now, those are military words, by the way. There's a commander-in-chief called God Almighty, just like the commander-in-chief of any army. If you enlist in the army, you've got to learn these two words. You've got to learn submission first. It is when you've learned submission that they can take you to the war front and use you in what you signed up for. Same thing, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, as we come to the Lord. Listen, until we are totally and completely submitted to God, we cannot successfully resist the devil. Let me repeat that. Until we are completely and totally submitted to God, we cannot resist the devil. You know what God told me waking up this morning? He said, "Preacher, as you go to preach this message, don't exclude yourself. Preach it to yourself first. Because this is a message that you need as much as anybody else." That's why when we were praying this morning, in fact, the last prayer you prayed for me was that as you are blessed in the message, that I be not left out. I will be blessed first by the message, then you are blessed too. Because even the preacher, if he does not submit to God, he cannot resist the devil. Folks, this is plain truth. Until we are totally surrendered to God, no matter what we do, you can fast 365 days, you will not succeed at resisting the devil. And I think this is the disservice that we do in deliverance churches when we minister to people that come to us for prayer and we let them know that God delivers. Look, God is under no obligation whatsoever to deliver a man that is not submitted to him. If he ever does it, it's because of his mercy. Believe me. And you know what? If he ever does it because of his mercy and you get it, it will not last in your hand. Because your lack of submission will take it away from your hand ultimately. Folks, there is no other way. There's no other way. The song we were supposed to sing for congregational hymn this morning, I deliberately selected it. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Until we're totally surrendered to God, forget about resisting the devil. Just forget it. The question this morning then is this. How submitted are you to God? How surrendered are you to God? Listen. I don't care how much prayer you pray. I don't care how much fasting you fast. I don't care how much vigils you hold. I don't care how many anointed pastors and prophets lay hand on you. If you don't submit to God first, you will not be able to resist the devil. And you know the question I ask myself? How many of us really can stand before the Almighty God and say, "God, you know, and I know, and the third person in the Trinity knows that I'm submitted to you"? Until you and I get to the place where we can say that, the enemy will be able to come in and out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Whenever you decide, "I will have my own way," what you are really saying is, "Satan, you can have your own way too." May I repeat what I said? Whenever you say, "I know the truth. I know what God wants done. I'm a Christian. I've been walking with the Lord. I know the Bible. I know what he wants. But in this case, I have no choice. I'll have my way." What you don't realize is you're writing a testament and a will. And you are saying, "Satan, you can also have your way in my life." I pray Satan will never have his way in your life. But do you realize you don't even have to say amen to that prayer? Because it is automatic. The Bible says, who shall hurt you? If you be a follower of that which is good. He said, "Show me the person." And then we go around, we're afraid of witches. We go around, we're afraid of wizards. Because we ourselves, we're disobedient to God. And do you know that disobedience itself is like witchcraft? Maybe even worse than witchcraft. So even the witches that you're running away from, you all belong to the same category. As far as God is concerned. You say, but I don't fly. I don't meet at night. I don't go eating at the coven. If you disobey God, you are the devil's coven. God is looking for men in these days to demonstrate his power. God is looking for men and women in these last days to stand up and see the devil and say, Satan, shut up. Sit down there. And he says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God is looking for men to demonstrate his glory, to demonstrate his power, to demonstrate his anointing. But it does not come by wishful thinking. It does not come by wishful saying. If you are not submitted to God, the devil will not submit to you. Don't care how much you wish it. I don't care how much you pray it. I don't care how much you fast it. You've got to do it. James wrote in verse 7, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We do a lot of praying for people. And I always say to some of the brothers that are very close to me, I always say to them, does it take this much to deal with devils and spirits? In all honesty, does it take, should it take this much? Huh? 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. I've been in deliverance for 12 hours before. And I always say, if one keeps doing this thing, one will die young. When the thing that Jesus Christ said is that the works that I do, you shall do also. And then he even made it easier. He said, and greater works than this shall he do. How did he do it? If Jesus spent 10 hours with one spirit, how did he do it? The man came out of the tombs, all bound up, all tied up, no clothes on. Jesus just looked at him and looked at the devil and said one word. What was one word? Go! And it left. No night vigil. Go! No all day in the park. Go! Where did he get that from? He said, my Father hears me always. Because I do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And that's your problem. And that's my problem. Can God of heaven look down at me? Can God of heaven look down at you? And he says, he always does, she always does what is pleasing in my sight. It is that man or that woman that can stand before devils and demons and they will tremble. Submit. And then you can resist. Say, Pastor, what does it mean to submit? To submit simply means to put yourself under. Under his rule. Under his control. Controlled by his will. Controlled by his word. Controlled by his instructions. Controlled by his law. Doing exactly what he says. Now that begins a salvation, but it does not end there. Your submission to God, your surrenderedness to God begins when you give your life to him. But that's just the beginning, because there are many Christians who say they are Christians, but they are not submitted to their Father. You don't do that in the military. Mm-mm. You're going to get court-martialed. Many of you are being court-martialed right now, you just don't know it. Because you can still speak in tongues and quote a few scriptures. You might have already fallen out of favor with God. How dare you think the devil will bow down at your doorstep? It doesn't work that way. Let me tell you something. The devil knows who is submitted and who is not. In case you don't know it. And that's why I tell people, pray for 5 hours, pray for 6 hours. It may very well be a waste of time if you are not submitted to God. Fast for 7 days, fast for 10 days. It might very well be a waste of time if you are not submitted to God. I was in a church several years ago, about 10, 12 years ago. We went for a conference in that church for the top leaders in the church. And when we met, they made an announcement that the next day everybody should fast, that we're going to have a day of fasting and praying. I told my roommate, I said, you're going to fast? He said, they made the announcement. I said, I'm not fasting. I said, I want yam. I said, you know what's called yam? That's super carbohydrate. I said, I want yam. I said, will they still cook? He said, they will cook. I said, at the restaurant? He said, yes. I said, if they see me in the restaurant, they will say I broke the fast, so I can't go there. I said, do they have another place where I can buy food? He said, yes. I said, get me somebody to buy me yam and let them make it double yam, double egg, double meat. He said, why are you not fasting? I said, I'll tell you why. I said, all these people who say we should put our heads together and come and fast and pray. I said, we hate each other. And then he stood there and just started nodding his head. I said, you know it. I said, we stab each other on the back. I said, we go to the leader, our overall leader. And in order to badmouth somebody, we come to him that we have come to do restitution. We talk against the leader with ourselves. We say all kinds of evil against him. And we both say it. And then after we finish saying it, I will now go to the leader and say, I just came to do restitution for what is we said, just to get him in trouble. I said, you know, that's the system here. I said, and then we will all put our empty heads together and say we want to call on the God of heaven. I said, God cannot be mocked. I said, why do we have to waste our time abstaining from food? I said, I'll go there, but I'll go belly full. And I went there, I dried my mouth well. And I made sure I never smell anything. I washed my mouth after the yam. And we finished praying. And the moment we finished praying, the fight continued. Submission to God. You and your wife, you fight and fight and fight. Then you go before God. Honey, let's bind the devil. Let's command it. Every devil in this house, every demon in this house. The moment you say, every demon in this house, all of them will rush into this house. Folks, somebody has to tell you the truth. And I have committed myself to let you know the truth. And if you don't want to know it, I want to know the truth. Amen. Because it is the truth that will set me free. You know what has happened now in our present breed of Christians? In an attempt to get free from problems, if we call a 3-day meeting on resisting the devil, the place will be jam-packed. But call in that same place a meeting on submitting to God, you'll be lucky and very fortunate to have 1/3 of the same people come. Why? We seem to be more interested in prayer to God and not interested in submitting to God. My friend, you've got to submit to him first before your prayer will amount to anything before him. Can we give the Lord a big hand this morning? Submit yourselves. Therefore, to God. And then you can resist the devil and it will flee from you. This is all over the scriptures. If you read the book of Judges, you will find this to be the truth. Each time the children of Israel were submitted to God, they could resist the enemy and the enemy will flee. When they did not submit to God, the enemy will take care of them. And I think a classic example is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Turn there with me in verse 41. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 41. Now there was a time in the lives of the children of Israel. Actually, the story took place in the book of Numbers chapter 14. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, the man of God, Moses, was recounting and rehearsing what had happened in the book of Numbers. So I'm not going to read the book of Numbers, even though I have the scripture here. It's in Numbers chapter 14. But I like this account of Moses better, as written in verse 39 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 41. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. Now look at this, folks. You agree that you have sinned against the Lord. And look at what they say next. We will go up and fight. Folks, those two things don't mix. We have sinned against the Lord and we will go up and fight. Don't mix. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up unto the hill. And the Lord said unto me, Moses, verse 42, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. Can I tell you something? I love God. What kind of God is this God? If I were God, I would have left them alone. I wouldn't even warn them. They knew they are not living right. So why would God come back and say, please, don't go and kill yourself. Don't go and destroy yourself. You know your life. Oh, God, give me your nature. Oh, God still condescended and said, oh, no, my people are going to destroy themselves. Hey, Moses, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you. You are not submitted to me. Therefore, you cannot resist the enemy. So verse 43. So I speak unto you, and ye will not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Homer. And you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord will not hearken unto your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. Folks, unless we are submitted to God, we cannot resist the devil. It begins with salvation, but it does not stop there. Look at what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. This is a passage of scripture I'm sure you all know very well. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse number 2. Behold, this is a classic. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Folks, have you ever felt like that sometimes? With all your prayer, it's like your heavens are made of brass. It's like the entrance into the presence of God is made of iron. How can I, why is it that I cannot penetrate when he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you? Why is it? Not only have I prayed, but I've added fasting to my praying. God says, don't blame me. My hand is not shutting that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But you know what the problem is? You are not submitted to me. In verse 2 it says, but your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Oh, the last statement is very definite, that he will not hear. I don't care what you do. Go hire the best deliverance minister. He will not hear you. Oh, say, Pastor Olu does not have the anointing. It is Pastor Ola that has the anointing. Go to Pastor Ola.
And then when you leave Pastor Ola, go to Pastor Hula. The breakthrough will not come until you submit. And you know what? When you submit, it can happen in your kitchen. The breakthrough will come. You will stand in the same kitchen that you have prayed before and nothing happened. It will happen in your bathroom. You just be taking your shower like this and the breakthrough will come. Say, I've been there. It didn't come. Because you submitted. That is why it came. Say, oh Lord, help me to submit in the name of Jesus. Hold it. Can I tell you what the enemy enjoys most? What he enjoys most is your lack of submission. Consequently, he will do everything within his power to encourage you not to submit. Somebody understands what I'm saying. He will put everything in your path to encourage lack of submission. He will give you every reason and every excuse not to submit. Why? Because he knows as long as you are not submitting to God, you will never overcome him. Every attempt like this, may God deliver you from the enemy. Every attempt like this that you want to make to submit, he will put barriers, blockages, hindrances in your way, so you will not submit. But no matter what, whether I like it or not, I will submit to God. I used to have a sister in a church down in Alabama when I was pastoring there. She told me a story I'll never forget. She was living among witches and wizards. I'm talking about not just originals, but super originals. And guess what? She would go in and out among them. No problem. In and out among them. No problem. And they debated, why is it that this girl is untouchable? Why is it that we've done everything? We put things on the ground for her like this. Things that will make somebody leprous. She will walk over it and nothing will happen to her. Why is it? Have we become powerless? She will sleep, she never dream bad dreams. She will wake, she will never wake with bad dreams. She will go in and out and there's no problem. She told me this with her mouth. She said, Pastor, suddenly things started happening in my life. One negative after another. One bad dream after another. And I said, something is wrong. And I started running from one prophet to another. She said, the church I was before I came to your church, I went to that church because of that problem. She said, I ran everywhere. The problem was not solved. She said, Pastor, you will not believe this. Until one day, one of them came to me and said, Sissy, that's how they call them. Sissy, I just want to tell you something. Do you know we are the ones behind your problem? She said, I've seen a couple of women chasing me in my dreams. And she said, that's when we manipulate you. She said, but we couldn't get you before. And then we went to find out why we couldn't get to you. And what we found out surprised us. We found out that angels surround you 24 hours of the day. And the angels stand as pillar of fire around you. And if we ever attempted to get through to the fire, we got burned. No wonder the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp. You know what it means to encamp? It means they are not going anywhere. They're staying there. We're not going anywhere. They encamp. In other words, our tent is here. Oh God, encamp around me. When I'm sleeping, encamp around me. When I'm preaching, encamp around me. When I'm driving, encamp around me. When I'm on my job, encamp around me. Oh God, don't move your camp. So day and night they are like that, flaming sorts of fire around you. Said our chief priestess then went and found out from Satan. And Satan said, as long as the fire is there, you can't get her. Because she's totally sold out to the Holy One. She's totally obedient to the Holy One. She said, we tried you with men to lure you into sin. You refused. We tried you with this. We tried you. She told her so many things that happened in real life. You refuse. She said, but Satan told us and said, try her with anger. See, that used to be her weakness before she knew the Holy One. If you can get her not to submit to God in the area of anger, you will get her. He said, that's why we created a problem for you in the compound where you are living. You remember the day you got angry? You remember it was that night we visited you. And we have been fanning the flame of anger. So that as long as the flame of anger burns in your soul, we can steal, we can kill, and we can destroy. Can I ask you this morning, what's making you angry? What you lose by your anger with this individual is too much compared to what you gain. Let it go. Turn to somebody and say, then let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Because, hey, Jesus, help me to reach your people this morning. Let me go back to the book of James to show you what I mean. James chapter 4, verse 7. You see, God doesn't play with his word. We preachers have made the word of God look as if it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But it matters. Submit yourselves. What is the next word? Therefore. Hold on. Therefore. Submit yourselves. Therefore. Anytime you find the word therefore in any verse of scripture, the question you need to ask yourself is this. Why is therefore, what is reason? Why therefore? What is therefore? Therefore. Because when he says, submit yourselves therefore, you should ask, because of what? Because what he's saying dramatically is, I've already said something. And because of that something that I've already said, submit yourself to God. So obviously before this verse 7, God has said a couple of things that we need to pay attention to. What are they? Look at them in verse 1. There are six things. From whence comes wars. From whence come wars and fightings among you. Stop right there. Wars and fightings. Wars and fightings. Everybody say that. Wars and fighters. On Wednesday, I told you there are two types of wars. There is the Cold War, and there is the aggressive war. See, we Christians don't fight the aggressive war because we are Christians, but we are specialists, Holy Ghost. Hey! I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Christians outside this church. We are experts when it comes to cold wars. Whether it is cold or lukewarm or hot, they will hinder you. The devil will not submit to you. I don't know who you are warring with right now. Let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. From whence comes wars? And did you hear that word? Not just one war. Have you ever seen somebody that it's not just one war between and them? It's a series of wars. In fact, this individual in your life, you can write a book of wars that you have been with. Wars. And you know the best writers when it comes to the book of wars? Husbands and wives. If the husband can write a 50-chapter book, the wife probably can write a 150-chapter book
on the wars we have fought. Honey, you can't fight these wars and win the war against the devil. It's not possible. I don't care how you spin it. I don't care how you say it's finished in my own heart. Look, God knows my heart. It's cleaning. Once we fight the war and I win the war, it is finished. It is you who lost that you still want to fight. If you want to fight again, I will win it. But for me, I have fought it. I've told you my mind is finished. I'm going to prayer. If you want to follow me, let's go and talk to the Father. And the Father is saying, me? Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? Submit yourself to me. From whence comes wars and fightings. Fightings. Who did you fight with last night? You know what I've told you? The enemy will station somebody with you to fight you. I don't believe in divorce. But my friend, if this person is going to fight you and kill you, if you don't know how to pack, I will come to your house and help you pack your luggage and help you pack your portmanteau and help you pack your... We'll go and rent you U-Haul. Because I would rather you be separated from this person than for you to be killed by this person. From whence cometh fightings and wars? From among you. I said, who did you fight with last night? And what is so amazing is we are experts at it. We fight last night, and then we come to church this morning. And then we start to sing, all around, everywhere I go, that Lord is all around. And then you hold your wife, all around, all around. And people look at you and say, yay, what a couple. Who are you deceiving? From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Then after you've done your fightings and you've done your wars, the Bible says, who is blind but my servants? And me myself, as blind as I am, not seeking God on who to use, I call you, I say, we're going to have fasting and praying on Thursday. Please lead the fasting and praying. And God is saying, why did you choose Achan? This woman or this man is Achan. There is wars, there is fightings. He cannot tell the devil to shut up. Because I've told him to shut up many times. In his relationship with his boss, in his relationship with his wife, in his relationship with her husband, they wouldn't. So we come and fast, and we let you lead the fasting and praying, and it turns out to be a waste of time. I told you I've got meat for you. Please don't throw it up. Chew it, digest it. It's for your good. Submit yourselves, therefore. What is it, therefore? Therefore. Fightings, wars among you. I pray that where there is any fight, where there is any war, the peace of God will replace it. You're saying it like that. I said, where there are wars and fightings, I pray that the Holy Ghost will replace it. Because sometimes the enemy knows he needs to submit to you. And so he begins to fan the fightings and the wars. And have you noticed that sometimes after the fight and the war is over, you look at yourself and say, what are we fighting about? Wait a minute, honey. What is this? What is this war about? And then you look at it, you dissect it, you examine it, and you find out that it's not worthy of the fight and the war. Let me go on. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of the lust
that war in your members. You hear that word again? Lust. These are the specific areas that we refuse to submit to God. In the area of fightings, in the area of wars, in the area of lust. What is lust? Lust is desire out of whack. That's what lust is. Desire that has gone out of control. When you have a desire and it has gone out of control, then you are lost. And how many people have that? You can desire for the opposite sex. You can desire for money. You can desire for position. You can desire for just about anything. It's an area of lack of submission to God in many people. In verse 2, it says, ye lost and have not. The next statement is even scary. Ye kill. What? Kill? Yes, sir. Christians kill? Yes, sir. How do they kill? They kill with their mouth. They kill with their tongue. And sometimes literally they kill. Oh, you say, how? Oh, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so have been married for several years. Their last child was 19 years ago. They thought they finished having children. And then suddenly pregnancy came again. And Junior, the last one, is 19. 19 years ago was when this woman got pregnant. And she tells her husband, honey, I'm pregnant. You are! Another fight ensues from that. And then he says, look, thank God abortion is legal. At 50 something, you want to carry pregnancy? Doctor Kikubahi. Is on High Street. Go to him. Get rid of this baby. He says, but God, the Bible says, thou shalt.
Hey, Bible! This is me and you and God. The same Bible that says, thou shalt not kill. That same Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's do it! God will forgive us. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. But there is a blood, like the blood of Abel, that will pursue you for the rest of your life. Ye kill. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about it because I know what I'm talking about. I've been pastoring for many, many, many years. I have had people saved, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost under my teaching that committed abortion. And when the sound of the cry of the blood will not let them rest, they had to come and say, this is what we did. First of all, it comes to me as a pastor as a shock. But it shouldn't, because the heart of man is desperately wicked. How can you do that and expect the devil to bow down? You're kidding. It says, ye lust, ye kill, ye desire to have. You know what that means? Envy and jealousy. What he got, I want it. And what he got, I wish he doesn't have it. It's among Christians too. And you cannot obtain. Consequently, what do? Ye fight and ye war. Yet ye have not. Because, see all these things he talks about and is writing to the beloved? How can somebody war and not be angry? How can somebody fight and not have wrath? He said all these things will hinder you. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your loss. Look at the next statement. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Ooh. Adulterers and adulteresses. Come on. They are believers. That's what you say. But I know them. Adulterers and adulteresses. There can be spiritual adultery, and there can be physical adultery. You say, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You say, you are even friends of the world. The music you like is of the world. You still love all those reggae songs. You still love all those country songs. You still love all those Puff Daddy songs. And you call him your heavenly daddy. Say, no. Said you are not submitted to God. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And look at the big one in verse 7. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So pride also comes in. Oh my God, have you ever seen a proud Christian? Never. We are all humble people. But our pride shows in the way we talk. Seriously. Our pride shows in the examples we give when we talk. Our pride shows in the way we dress. Our pride shows in so many areas. And you know what? When I see a proud person, I spot it just like that. And it turns me off. It turns me off. Nothing turns me off like pride. And nothing troubles me like when I see pride in myself. Because in actual fact, what can you be proud about? What is it that you have that was not given to you? And if it was given to you, how then can you be proud of it? Somebody said, I'm so pretty. I'll give you another 15 years. Pretty face. Submit yourselves, therefore. Submit yourselves, therefore. Because of the contention, because of the anger, because of the lust, because of the friendship of the world, because of the adultery, because of the pride, because of the jealousy and the envy. Submit yourselves. They are hindrances in your way of submission to God. Then when you have totally completed the act of submission to God, folks, this Christian life will be easy. I'm telling you. You will say, stop right there. And the enemy will stop. It's a man of God that I'm closing now. Went to God and said, God, why is the enemy not submitting to me? He said he fasted for 12 days. Oh no, he said he didn't know how long it was. Fasting. He said he just told his wife, lock me up in the closet. When I'm ready to come out, I will knock the door. Then you can let me out. I want to know why the enemy is not submitting to me. And amazingly, he said suddenly, he said, I don't know how long I was in that room. He said suddenly a light just came into the room. He said there was, the whole place was dark. And suddenly a light came into the room and a voice started speaking. He said, I was expecting the Lord to say, it's because you don't fast enough, it's because you don't pray enough, it's because you don't do this or that enough. He said, that wasn't what God said. He said, God gave him 12 things in his life that if you will take care, I have the book in my house, that if you take care of this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 things, you don't need to worry. I will take care of it. He said, he knocked the door and told the wife, come on, to come on. And the wife said, have you got the answer? He said, it wasn't the answer I was expecting. Honey, the answer to your problem is really not what you are thinking. It's not that the witches are more powerful than you are. Because Jesus made an open show of them. Amen. When he rose from the dead. They don't have power. Believe me. It's not that all these dreams about snakes, all these dreams about shooting at you arrows, and it's not that the enemy has power over you. Mm-mm-mm. It's because you have given them the power.
And so he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Deal with this 12. He said, I went and dealt with the 12. Oh, this man became a powerful man with God. I remember he was holding a revival in Dallas, Texas. And there was a woman that they tried to cast the devil out of. They couldn't get the devil out of her. From morning till 6 p.m. Does that sound like me? From morning till 6 p.m. Come out! Come out! Yay! Yay! Come out! Come out! And when we say come out, come out, come out, that's what the devil starts singing. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, and then the devil is dancing with us. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Especially if it's a dancing devil. You see, these people can sing. They did everything. The devil never came out. And then he came at 6 p.m. for the evening service. They were still with this woman. And then they called and said, well, this woman, her own devil must have been since it was a little child. You know, some devils are hard to cast out. Some devils are easy to cast out. Where did you read that in the Bible? So he just came and said, is it this person? Say yes. He just came. You don't have any devil in Jesus' name. You don't have any devil. He just came. And the devil came out. So after the service, one of those that were fighting with the woman went to him and said, tell me what you said. Tell me what you see. That's the funny thing about us today. Have you found out that we Christians are copycats? We want to do it like they did it, but the price they paid, the price they paid that enabled them to do it, we are not willing to pay the price. Say, what did you say? You know why he was asking? So he himself will be looking for devils and say, oh, the man said, I didn't see anything that serious. I just went there and introduced myself. So that's all I did. I just went there and I said, devil, this is so-and-so. Devil, this is so-and-so. Devil, this is so-and-so. You know me. I know you. Get out. So that's all I said. Ah! God, I will not die. Everybody say, I will not die. Say it again. Say, I will not die. Say, I will not die. Say, I will not die until I have total, complete control and dominion over the devil. I will not die. In this life, I will introduce myself to demons and devils, and they will move out. In this life, what other men and women cannot do, I will do it. In this life, what other ministers cannot do, I will do it. In this life, what other believers cannot do, I will do it. I will submit myself to God. I will yield myself to God. I will crucify myself. In the name of Jesus, rise up on your feet and talk to the Lord this morning. Oh God, help me to pay the price. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Jesus. Whatever it takes, help me to do it. Whatever it takes, help me to do it in order to submit myself to you. Help me to yield myself to you. Help me to submit myself to you. Oh, God. Whatever area in my life. Oh, talk to God this morning. Ah. In this life, I will be a conqueror. In this life, I will not die until devils submit themselves to me. But Lord, I will submit myself to you this morning. I will totally yield myself to you this morning. I will totally surrender myself to you this morning. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, oh God. Every area of rebellion in my life. Every area of rebellion in my life. Every area of self-will. Every area of anger. Every area of war. Every area of pride. Every area of jealousy. Every area of friendship with the world. Every area of lust. Take them out, Jesus. Move them out. that I may be a terror to Satan, that I may make the enemy to run. Oh, in this life, I shall work wonders for God. In this life, oh, I will not die until I do all that God says I will do. I will not die until I accomplish all that God says I will accomplish. Whatever is in my heart, whatever is in my life, whatever is blocking me, take them out, Jesus. Take them out, Jesus. Wash me and purge me. Cleanse me and purify me. Oh, God. Yay. Whatever needs to be done in my heart, whatever needs to be done in my life, whatever needs to be done in my soul, whatever needs to be done in my spirit, Lord, do it. Break me and melt me and mold me. Break me and melt me and mold me. Break me and melt me and mold me. And fashion me. Give me a heart that is submitted to God. Give me a heart that is surrendered to God. Give me a heart that is yielded to God. Every area of disobedience, every area of self-will, every area of habitual disobedience, take it out, purge it out, cleanse it out. Oh God, yield myself to you this morning. I surrender myself to you this morning. Break me and melt me and mold me and fashion me in your image. Do a new thing in my heart and in my life, and just help me, Jesus. Oh God, please help me to submit myself to you. Hallelujah. Oh God, help me to submit myself to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want everybody to get out of your seats. Come stand before me. Let's renew our consecration all over again to God. Let's let him know that we know better than not to submit to him. Let's let him know that we know better than not to yield to him. Folks, I don't know why we human beings are the way we are. God made the moon. The moon submits to God. God made the sun. The sun submits to God. God made all the other elements in the world. They all submit to God. It's only we. I don't know why we have such a great impression of ourselves. After having paid so many prices, after it has cost us so many things in the past, we'll see, say we can get away with it. You may get away with it with man, but not with the devil. This morning, I'm telling you, I know what God spoke to me this morning. He told me, said, you need it just as much as they need it. I want to be submitted to God. You know, the area of struggle in your life, like our prayer leader taught us this morning, you know the area of struggle. You know you have a heart that pants after God, but there's this easily besetting area that pulls you down, pulls you back, and gives the devil an inroad into your life. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. I want you to just talk to God where you are right now. I want you to tell God that I want to be totally submitted to you. I consecrate myself to you this morning. You be my commander in chief. I will not command you. I will not lead you. I will not guide you. I will obey your word and your will for my life. I want you to tell God, if there are areas that you are not happy about with me, if they be 12, if they be 2, Lord, please tell me. Lord, don't lead me to my own ways. Whatever you're not happy with in my life, please let me know. I am the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. Lord, every stone inside this clay, take it out. So I'll be totally submitted to you. That's the only way the enemy will be successfully resisted. Father, take our consecration this morning. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say, Father,
Say in the name of Jesus, I know you love me. And that is why you always send me timely messages. I have heard your word. I kick not against your word. I need to submit. I will submit. I must submit. I shall submit. Even right now. Take my heart. Take my will. Take my mind. Take my emotions. Take my desires. Wrap them in your word. Wrap them in your will. Whether I like it or not, I shall always, I must always, I will always submit to you. Lord, open my eyes. Where my heart is deceiving me, deliver me. Let me see, let me know areas where I am justifying myself, but I am condemned by God. Break me, melt me, mold me into your will. From this day, I consecrate to you. By your grace, I will be totally submitted unto you. Anything in my heart, anything in my life, any habitual practice, take them away from me. All contentions, all anger, all lust, all adultery, all friendship with the world, all pride, all jealousy, all envy, all unforgiveness, all bitterness, take them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm totally submitted right now until I see the Lord. And you devils and demons, you are in big trouble in my life, in every area around me. I command you, go in the name of Jesus and leave me alone, for I am submitted to God. I thank you, Lord, for the answer. I praise you, Lord, for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Put your hands together and give the Lord a big hand for the victory, for the release. In the name of Jesus, go back to your seats, just giving God the praise for the victory, for the release that he has given you this evening. Amen. Go ahead and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Don't stop giving him the praise until you get to your seat. Just say, Lord, I bless your name. I thank you for releasing me. I thank you for setting me free. I thank you for giving me the victory tonight. Hallelujah. Just bless your name. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We'll praise him and we'll bless him this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.